All right, everybody, let me just lay out the situation as simply as possible, because Donald Trump effed up badly. He effed up so badly that it may cost the Republican Party the midterms, and now top Republican leaders are coming out on Fox News and begging Donald Trump to rectify his mistake, to fix the mistake that he made by actually getting his head in the game for once. What I'm talking about here are the midterm elections coming up in 62 days. Republicans have a series of very weak Senate candidates. At the top of that list is Ken Paxton of Texas. Then we have Mike Collins of Georgia. We have Mike Rogers of Michigan. All of these weak candidates are piling up and dragging the Republican Party down to the depths of hell. They refuse to release the full Epstein files and comply with investigations. They refuse to end this Iran war and refuse to focus on the economy, so they're unpopular. They are deeply unpopular, and Donald Trump can't seem to figure out why, so he is flailing, and right now, he is panicked. He is reportedly about to visit a bunch of swing states over the next few months in an attempt to canvass and campaign for these very same candidates that are losing because of him. Now, let me just back up and provide some context before we get into the Epstein files that just were forced out onto the floor. A few months back, we had a Texas primary race between Attorney General Ken Paxton and then on the other side was John Cornyn, a sitting senator. Donald Trump decided to endorse Ken Paxton out of the two. He decided to put his thumb on the scale and get Ken Paxton to win this primary. The problem is, Ken Paxton is a uniquely weak candidate. Not just uniquely weak, he is one of the most corrupt politicians on American soil right now. One of the most corrupt politicians to ever be born in America. We'll go through his list of corruption in just one moment. Actually, let's run through it right now. Paxton's list of corruption can be seen right here, and you're going to be amazed when I click the Show More button. When I click Show More, we see a list of some insane effing corruption. This is the guy that Trump chose, by the way. This was Trump's preferred candidate. Let's just read this. It says, some of Ken Paxton's scandals include offered an admitted child molester one day in jail after he repeatedly raped a young boy. He was almost impeached by his own party on 20 counts of corruption, bribery, abuse of public trust, and obstruction of justice. He owns at least 15 homes across the nation worth $9 million, despite a government salary of $153,000. He's accepted $77,000 from men who allegedly sexually assaulted women, exposed themselves to children, and appear in the Epstein files, which we'll get to in just one moment. He fled to Utah during Texas's deadly 2021 winter storms, which killed 246 people. He spent July 4th, America's 250th birthday, in London, and it continues to go. He accepted $500,000 from a data center industry, bankrolled by the family who attempted to buy Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express private jet, said the Uvalde shooting in which 21 children and teachers were murdered was a part of a plan by God. I mean, it just keeps going with this guy. And this is the guy that Donald Trump happily endorsed and is happily endorsing on a daily basis. The Republican Party is struggling to get their shit together. And the absolute stakes of the midterm elections seem to just be hitting many Republican politicians. Here's Senate Majority Leader John Thune practically begging Donald Trump to come help them in Texas. He said, Texas is such an expensive state. We need the president and his team to engage there and put in resources.
Through the Senate Leadership Fund.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Texas and the race between James Tallarico and Ken Paxton. I know you supported John Cornyn. The president supported Ken Paxton. One GOP donor in Texas said, you broke it, you own it. Is his attitude towards the White House in terms of getting going on backing that race? What do you think is going to happen there?
I think that I'm hoping the White House will become engaged. Texas is an incredibly expensive state and obviously one that we need, that we've got to hold. If we're going to keep the United States Senate, if we're going to keep a majority, Martha, with Texas, that is, we absolutely have to win that race. So everybody's all in for Ken Paxton. The primary is over. We're focused now on the general election. But because Texas is such an expensive state, we're going to need the president and his team to be engaged there.
Okay, he said it twice in this clip. Twice he said the same thing. And if you read between the lines, it's because he is desperate for Trump to rectify the mistake that Trump made. He says twice in this, it is such an expensive state. We need the president and his team to engage there and put resources into that race. He is directly asking Donald Trump to put more effort into the Texas race because Trump is the one who effed up the Texas race. I'm not saying that Cornyn would have been a perfect candidate. I don't think Cornyn was a good candidate either. I disagree with Cornyn on everything. He is also just a corrupt, awful human being. However, John Cornyn did not have the laundry list of corruption that Ken Paxton does, so Trump inherently chose the weaker, worse-off candidate. The reason why the stakes are so high for Republicans heading into the midterms is because all of their corruption will be exposed if they lose. The Epstein files that they've been hiding will be further exposed. The Iran war will be over, and we will start investigations into Donald Trump's insider trading. Hell, the insider trading allegedly done by his kids over the past 2 years. Right now, some of the only people fighting against the Epstein class in Congress are Thomas Massie, who has, counting his days, he's going to be gone soon. We have Ro Khanna. We have a few other key representatives on both sides who are fighting very hard. Representative Yasemin Ansari has been pushing hard. And Thomas Massie just announced on Monday, beginning today, your congressman can sign a discharge petition to force a vote on the Epstein Files Transparency Act 2. It is part 2 of the original Epstein Files Transparency Act, and people can vote on it. EFTA 2 gives state attorney generals access to Epstein files required to prosecute perpetrators under state law and makes it easier for survivors to sue and get their files. Now, this is a good idea just for two separate reasons. Number one, there's been this dynamic where a lot of state attorney generals are begging the federal government for the Epstein files or any unredacted files so they can investigate in their own state. A good example of this is New Mexico. The New Mexico Attorney General has sent a dozen letters to the Attorney General of the United States begging for more information about Zorro Ranch. Zorro Ranch is Epstein's fourth, rather secretive and reclusive property over New Mexico. And the government straight up refuses to hand over any information about it. I'm not even joking. They are not responding to the New Mexico Attorney General as they are begging for more information. So this requires state IGs to have access to the full unredacted Epstein files. And then secondly, it makes it easier for survivors to sue and get their hands on the files that have been basically repressed from them for decades and decades. Many of these survivors were hurt in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, late 2000s, like through a long time span. And powerful people in America have been covering this up or ignoring this for decades and decades, and finally survivors get some answers. Here's Thomas Massie reading the names of several Epstein co-conspirators on the House floor. He literally walked onto the House floor and read multiple names. This is crazy, this is ballsy. I disagree with Thomas Massie on a lot of different things, of course, but at the end of the day, this should deserve credit. I just want to say very quickly, I will be on CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillip tonight on Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. So be there. And if you can't be there, make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed below because I post recap videos the next day. Drop a like on this video below and let's continue with this.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Kentucky seek recognition?
I ask unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, the gentleman is recognized for 1 minute.
Mr. Speaker, it's been a year since the President signed the Epstein Files Transparency Act, and the government continues to withhold over 3 million files. That's why we've introduced the Epstein Files Transparency Act 2, to bring the fight to the state courts, accountability to the Department of Justice, and closure for survivors. We want perpetrators of these crimes to be investigated and prosecuted. Men like Jess Staley, Leon Black, Les Wexner, David Copperfield, Lapo Elkham, Tom Pritzker, Glenn Dubin, Frederick Fekai, Eduardo Teodorani, Jean-Luc Brunel, conveniently dead by suicide in prison.
He's just naming all of the Epstein co-conspirators. Holy shit.
Daniel Siad, recently discovered dead in Paris. Ramzi El-Khoury and Prince Andrew, who committed sex crimes in the United States, too. And women like Leslie Groff, not a victim, who conspired with Epstein to traffic other women. Perhaps hearing these names will shame the Department of Justice into delivering justice. I yield back.
I mean, wow, wow, wow. Very powerful from Thomas Massey. And something that he has proven time and time again is that there exists this upper echelon in the United States of power called the Epstein class. People who use their wealth, their connections, their network, their overall power to lobby against their own accountability. They push repeatedly for the Epstein files to continue to be covered up, continue to be redacted, because there exists a class of men in the United States who use this power to screw over the less fortunate, the less powerful, screw over people in weaker positions, and then just benefit from that. And you know who like the leader of all of that is? Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't do exactly the same thing that Epstein did. Epstein did something uniquely horrific, right? Now, Trump may have been involved in some way. That's what needs to be investigated. But what Donald Trump has done is used power throughout his entire life to screw people over, to then abuse them, and then basically threaten them if they ever speak out about how he abused his power. It's the same thing. Basically the same way that Epstein and all of these other men abused power is how Donald Trump operates. So let's return back to the midterm elections. I've just illustrated the stakes are very high. If the Democrats win the midterms and the Republicans lose, you can bet that there will be a lot more moments like this, moments of accountability on the House floor. You can bet that we will be investigating the insider trading that Trump is being accused of, that he's admitted to. We're going to investigate the fact that Truth Social allows an early access API worth $100,000 a month where people can get access to Trump's tweets early. His Iran war announcements, investors can get them early. Him pumping up stocks, investors can get them early. It is so disgusting. We need to investigate that, the Qatar jet, the dealings with the UAE, the dealings with Trump's own children. So much to investigate. And that is why Trump is so desperate to try to win the midterm. So desperate that he is rigging it, and so desperate that he is now going across the country to try to win the midterms. I mean, first of all, we just learned that Trump is going to be hosting a group of vulnerable GOP lawmakers at the White House in order to talk to them. President Trump will host a group of Republican lawmakers facing rough re-election bids for a Rose Garden dinner on Wednesday, the White House confirmed to The Hill. The development comes as lawmakers and candidates approach the post-Labor Day sprint ahead of the November midterm elections, with many Republicans calling on the president to use his resources to boost them in their races. It's funny because Trump has access to hundreds of millions of dollars through MAGA Inc., a super PAC that is broadly corrupt. I mean, he has done a lot of pay-for-play in MAGA Inc. Criminals can basically pay in to his MAGA Inc. super PAC and then get pardoned by Trump. So he has all of this money. The reports are it's like $500, $600, $700 million. We don't know the actual amount. And he's not using any of it to actually help Republicans. He's giving a little bit here and there to Darlene Graham, but Trump is so convinced that he is popular and that the party is not popular that he doesn't have to use any of his resources to actually help the party. I mean, Trump has said this in interviews over the past few days. He has openly said that he's popular, but the party isn't popular, so he doesn't know if he's going to help. Dude, you are the party. I mean, Trump has said this openly a few times in interviews. He said that the Republicans are unpopular, but not him. He's the only popular one. So it's all just them that's unpopular. They're going to be the ones losing. And a lot of Republicans are like, what the fuck, man? Your policies have been absolutely awful for the past 2 years, causing inflation, starting wars, covering up the Epstein files, sending ICE into our cities. And now Trump thinks he's just too good to help the Republicans? Here's how he's helping them. Representative Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin is slated to attend this private meeting, while a source familiar told News Nation that Representative Mike Collins of Georgia will be facing, who's facing an uphill battle against John Ossoff, will also attend. Representative Tom Barrett of Michigan will attend the dinner as well, according to Politico. Some Republicans have voiced frustrations that Trump is not spending enough of his money to defend the party's narrow majority in Congress. However, Trump has signaled that he will spend more ahead of the midterms, but still, he's being oddly stingy for somebody who basically put the party into this position and is now about to be exposed for his vast corruption. We also are learning Republicans aren't exactly flocking to Trump's midterm convention. Quote, I can't control what the president's going to say at the convention, but I can control where I'm at, one battleground member said. Apparently, the turnout has been absolutely abysmal. Like, nobody is even showing up to this convention. Apparently, people are worried. They are scared that Trump Trump is abandoning them. And because of that, Trump is hosting a lot of these vulnerable GOP lawmakers at the White House to maybe scream at them or berate them. Who knows what he's going to do? But let's listen to Trump on Ken Paxton for a second.
I'll give you a little list. You can show it when you show, I hope. But I'm at 97-98% victories. And on the races that count, I'm at just about 100%. We'll see what's going to happen in Texas. That's a tough race, but we have a good candidate. If we have a highly underrated, and they have the worst candidate I think I've ever seen. I think actually it might.
Wow. Did you guys hear that cope right there? That is called straight cope. He said, we have the worst candidate he's ever seen, but they have a pretty good candidate. And then he says moments before that, the race in Texas is going to be tight. Let's just think about this. The state Texas is historically red. Like, it's a solid red state. There have been Democrats who have put up good campaigns like Beto O'Rourke, but it's a red state, right? The fact that Donald Trump is even saying that this race is so fucking tight is a bad sign for his candidate. It inherently means they must have a weak candidate and we must have a strong candidate. James Tallarico is single-handedly turning this Senate race purple. It's no longer a red state solely. It is purple because James Tallarico is putting up a great fight. So when Trump says that it's going to be a tight race, he is conceding that his candidate is dog shit. It shouldn't even be a tough race. Republicans in any other reality would likely be kind of winning this race, but they have such a uniquely corrupt candidate that they can't. Let's read a few more of these Ken Paxton corruption stories. Reported to the FBI by his own top deputies, who alleged he was abusing his office to benefit a close donor. Currently charges families an average of $750 a night to stay at his luxury Oklahoma term. He used taxpayer funds as attorney general to benefit a friend. Protected a laboratory that tortured and killed over 400 puppies. Voted against a Texas program that spent billions on cancer research, allegedly committed voter fraud. Dude, if I were writing a movie script about a corrupt politician and I made them like comically evil and corrupt, it still wouldn't even touch what Ken Paxton has done according to this list. He is a uniquely weak candidate, and Trump knows that. Listen to the way Trump tries to cover up with COVID.
My nickname for him, I don't want to use it, but the name happens to be Tallarico. Because he is one of the worst candidates I've ever seen. And, you know, we have a guy named Ken Paxton. And some people don't like the way he dresses, or some people don't like the way he interviews or talks. But you know the one thing about him? He was the best attorney general.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing that I don't like about Ken Paxton. That's the thing. I just don't like how he dresses. I can probably move past the fact that he voted against a Texas program that spent billions on cancer research. I can move past the fact that he protected a laboratory that tortured and killed over 400 puppies. It's the way that he dresses. That's what really bothers me. So just to take a step back, again, I will be on CNN tonight talking about these very things, but I think it's important to point out how panicked the Republicans are heading into the midterms. Trump is trying to rig them. He's trying to steal the midterms. He's trying to cheat in any way possible because he doesn't even want to put in the work of campaigning with these shitty candidates that he chose. I'm going to leave it there. We need to keep exposing the Epstein files, keep pushing for a blue wave in the midterms. I love you all, and peace out.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.